You know, as we study the Bible, one of the things that we find in the Bible, we find a lot of opposites. Find a lot of opposites. We find light. We find darkness. We find truth. Find error. We find heaven. We find hell. We think righteousness. We find wickedness. Another one of the great contrasts we find in the Bible is selfishness versus selflessness. Selfishness versus selflessness. If we could say anything that would be a description of society today, and the emphasis of society today, we would say that the emphasis today is on selfishness. Selfishness. The Bible tells us that the last days in particular will be characterized by selfishness. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Know this also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. One of the leading characteristics of this day is that men are lovers of their own selves. Translated into modern terminology, men will be selfish, self-centered. You know, that's not really anything new. Because you know that's what the human nature, the sinful human nature, is all about. Selfishness. Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Thank God, but the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. Man is characterized as being, man is selfish. That is a part of being a child of Adam. Selfishness. If you look at Romans chapter 3, we find the description of man. It says in Romans 3:11, it describes man. It says, there is none that seeketh after God. Why? Man is selfish. Why would man seek after God and want someone to be over him? Man doesn't want someone over him. They want to be the boss themselves. The Bible says, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. What way have they gone? Their own way. Their own way. The Bible says, a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. What way will they go? Their own way. Selfish way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Man's nature is selfish. Men without Christ do good for one reason, for their own benefit. That's why they do good. They do good not for God, but because of their own benefit. That's why they do good. And as I said in Sunday school, Katrina is a perfect example. What happened in Katrina in New Orleans? What happened to this orderly society, this so-called Christian society? Turned into a pack of wolves, of animals. Why? Because there wasn't anybody to punish them for doing wrong. There was no one to put them in jail. No one to find them. And so they did what man is like. They selfishness took over. They looted, they pillaged, they raped, anything without regard of anyone else but themselves. And it didn't take years to happen to degenerate. It took seconds. You know, man is selfish because we're the children of Adam. And Adam and Satan's temptation to Adam was, hey, you know what? Don't listen to God. Look out for yourself. Look out for yourself. You take that fruit, and I tell you, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. Look out for yourself. Forget God. Yep. And that's been the focus of Satan's temptation ever since. What? Look out for yourself. Selfishness is the, if you could take a summary of what the old sinful nature is all about, you could wrap it up into one word: selfish. That's the old sinful nature. It's described in one word: selfish. And that selfishness is contrasted by Jesus Christ. That selfishness is contrasted by Jesus Christ. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Philippians chapter 2, that great passage of Scripture. It says, let not every man look on his own things. Don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Don't make your life revolve around you. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, verse number 6 of Philippians 2, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. Here is God the Son. All the glory and the honor and the praise of the angels and the host of heaven, the Son of God. And he comes to this earth. And he takes on the form of a servant, of man. From honor to being born in a stable. No room in the inn. He took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Oh, I know who that Jesus is. He's born of fornication, they said. Ah, yeah, that's the Son of Mary. Yeah, we know him. He's just another person. Huh. And the angels worshiping him to nothing. And being found as in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Selflessness. Selflessness. Jesus Christ. Everything about the Lord Jesus Christ and his coming to this earth is about selflessness. You know what the Bible says? It says, if any man is going to follow me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know what the Bible is telling us? The Bible is telling us not only is Jesus Christ all about selflessness, but he's telling us the Christian life is all about selflessness. He tells us there's a collision here. There's a collision that's taking place. There's a war between selfishness and selflessness. And that war is centered in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, says, you know the grace, verse 9, of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Yes, he left the riches and the glory of heaven, and he became poor. He was born in a poor family. He lived a life of frugality. He died on the cross. He lost everything, so to speak, for us. That ye through his poverty might be I'd like us to think a little bit about the contrast between selfishness and selflessness. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning." You know where the beginning is? Genesis. Genesis. "That you should love one another, not as Cain." Where's the first murderer? Book of Genesis. "Not as Cain, which was of the wicked one," who's born of the devil. He was unsaved and slew his brother. And why did he slay his brother? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now that's the epitome of selfishness, isn't it? Why did he slay his brother? Why did Cain kill Abel? Because Cain did wrong and his brother did right. It is amazing how people can have bad feelings about people who are doing right. They have these feelings of hate towards people that are doing right. And they're doing wrong. You know why they have these feelings of hate? They're selfish. Self-centered. Just like Cain. Their life revolves around them. "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you." You know what? That's exactly the way it is. You get saved, and you want to live for God. You want to do right. And guess what? All of a sudden, there's something terrible about you. All of a sudden, you're a terrible person. And the world starts hating you. Why? Because you want to do right. Why? Because the world is selfish. They don't want to have any conviction about their own lifestyle. And if you do right, they're going to have conviction about their own lifestyle. But notice what it says. "And we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us," selflessness. "And we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren," selflessness. "But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" Notice here a little description of selflessness, and it also gives us a description of selfishness. Notice what it said. It says that whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother. Selfishness doesn't see. Selfishness doesn't see. They don't see the needs of others. They only see their own needs. Mel Trotter, the famous drunk that got saved, made his family live in a shack on the other side of the railroad in poverty because Mel Trotter was a drunk. He spent all his money on himself, on his booze, on his habit. Mel Trotter's little baby was sick. And his dear wife was caring for the baby, and Mel came home and said, "Mel, here's a prescription for the little baby. If we don't get this prescription filled, the baby will die. Please Here's the money. Go get the prescription filled. Don't spend it on booze. Mel tried to say, oh, I promise. On the way to the drugstore, with the money and the prescription, he goes by the bar and he smells the booze. Takes the money, gets drunk. Comes back the next day, his baby's in a coffin. And he was so low down, selfish. He saw the baby in the coffin and he took off the brand new shoes his wife had bought for that little baby to give it some honor in death. And took those brand new shoes and snuck them and put them in his pocket and left the house. Went to the pawn shop. Got a few shekels, few pennies, and went to the bar. And by the time he came back, after his drunk, his child was buried cold in that grave. You know, Mel Trotter was all about himself. All about himself. You know what? He didn't see that child was sick. He didn't care that that child was sick. He didn't care that that child would die. He only cared about himself. He is selfish. Now, of course, you know the rest of the story. One day, Mel Trotter finally got to the end of his selfishness, and he was going to take his life. He was so sick of himself. Wasn't very good thinking, was it? But on the way to Lake Michigan, he went by the Pacific Garden Mission and he heard the music and he went in. And he got saved. And the backbone of his selfishness was broken. From that day on, Mel Trotter gave his life to Jesus Christ and he gave his life to save other drunks from their sin. And he was a great man of God. Mel Trotter didn't see. Only thing he saw was what he wanted. He is blind. You know, selfishness doesn't see. Selfishness doesn't see the needs of others. Selfishness doesn't care about other people. They only care about themselves. You know, a selfish person is stuck on themselves. And you know what? It's broadcast wherever they go. They're just plain stuck on themselves. That's all they care about. I can imagine a person, a young lady stuck on themselves. They just got to spend so much time in front of that mirror. Oh man, everything is about them. Everything is how they look. It's all about if that thing is just in the right spot, you know? Boy, you know one of the best things that would happen to them is they somehow leave the house and they have some big blotch of something on their face. Man, that'd be wonderful. Why? Because they're all into themselves. You know? Selfishness is a wicked sin. And you don't have to do anything to get it because we're born with it. We're born with it. Selfishness is the young person that talks back to his parents. Disrespect. They have no sense of who brought them into this world, who feeds them, who clothes them, who takes care of them. They're all into themselves. The Bible says in Romans 3, their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Why? Because they're into themselves. It says that who has this world's good and seeth his brother. You know, selfishness doesn't see anything. It doesn't see anything. You know, I'm sorry to say this, but a selfish father doesn't see the needs of his children. He's into himself. He doesn't see the needs of his children. It's all about him. It's not about them. You know, that's very unnatural. That's very unnatural. You know, you go to the animal world, that's not the way it is. You know, when animals grow up, they're selfless. This cute little baby piggy. And you know, baby piggies are cute. You might not like them. They might smell a little bit, but you know, they're cute. And you know, this little baby piggy grows up. And guess what? This baby piggy grows up and becomes a mama. And this baby pig becomes a mama, and this mama has these little piggies. And you know what? I like piggies when they have lots of little baby piggies. And you know what? That mama, immediately, when those baby piggies are born, immediately she starts laying on her side to feed those little pigs. Immediately. And you know what? She'll keep feeding those little baby piggies. And she'll keep feeding those baby piggies until you can see her ribs and they start sticking out. And all the meat and all the fat that she was saving up for those baby piggies is all gone, and they look like a standing ghost. Why? Because they were made to be selfless. You know what? God made us to be selfless too. But selfish people don't see. You know, I tell the story. One day I was sitting in my office. I sit in my office and all the kids were playing outside out here. And Mr. Schultz was combining that day, the farmer. And he parks his combine in that field there. That's before the church owned that property. Parked his combine there, his truck there. And he's walking over to that field. I think his pickup was there, combine was there. And he parked his truck there and he walked down the street right in front of the church, right over that field, and as he walked down the road, guess what he saw? He saw some garbage on the side of the road on our property. And you know what he did? He picked it up. And you know what? It was so shocking to me because every day, there's a whole host of kids that were playing right next to that same spot. And they were there, and the garbage was there, but they never saw it. They never saw it. Why? Because they were into having fun. They were into themselves. And you know, that's what the world tells us we're supposed to be. The world tells a teenager, look out for number one. That's what the world says. Look out for number one. Everything's about you. Now, if you're uncomfortable with us, you shouldn't come on a teen camp out, because this is mild compared to what the teenagers get. Selflessness doesn't see. They don't see. What do they see? You know what? There's many a men in this world, they don't even think about the souls of their children. They don't see. They don't see a thing. The Bible says, who hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion? The Bible says that selfishness has a heart that's shut up. Not only do they don't see, but they don't care. They don't only see, but they don't care. You know, here's this person, this young person. I don't care. I don't care. Well, you know, a lot of adults are that way too, aren't they? They don't care. You're being a bad example to the kids. I don't care. I'm a man. I can do what I want. But I want to just see the contrast. What does it say? It says, whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. First of all, selflessness sees. You know what Jesus saw when he saw the world? He said he was moved with compassion because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw the souls of the world and his heart was moved with compassion. He saw them. You know, a big illustration of the contrast. Cambodia just got out of communism early 1990s. Pol Pot and his regime was overthrown. And a missionary representative of Baptist International Missions immediately took a survey trip to Cambodia to see about the mission field. And what did he see? What did he find when he got to Cambodia? Who was already there? The Kent cigarette salesman. And what was he doing? Passing out free packs of cigarettes to children. Get them hooked when they're young, they'll pay for life. Right? He was going to see the multitudes who had never heard of Jesus Christ. You see the difference of the eyes of the selfish versus the selfless. And says he seeth his brother of need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion. We find that selflessness, there is the striking of the heart. There is the compassion of the heart. There is the the feeling of compassion of the needs of others. It moves them. They're moved. Jesus was moved with compassion. You know, the Bible tells us the Apostle Paul, after he was saved, you know what he said? He looked on the fields of the world, he said, I am a debtor. I am a debtor to the Jew and to the Greek. He saw the world and he saw them as a people who needed the gospel. And he says, you know what? I owe this world something. I owe them this message. I owe them the privilege of hearing the Word of God. He was, heart was moved. And we find the result of that removal is a self-denial. A movement of action. A doing something. What changes a person from being selfish to selfless? What takes a person from being all about themselves to wanting to give themselves to others? How could a radical change like that take place? The Bible tells very simply. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This was manifested, the love of God toward us, 1 John 4:9. Because that God sent His only begotten Son in the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know what? Every man needs salvation. Every man needs to be faced with the love of Jesus Christ. The young people on the camp out, remember Jack McWilliams. Jack McWilliams was one of the greatest and fiercest criminals of northern Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota. He was the toughest of the toughest. And almost every law officer in the whole Midwest was afraid of Jack McWilliams. He was the meanest man around. Jack McWilliams came to the end of his line. He heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he heard of the forgiveness that was found in a forgiving, loving God who could forgive those who would accept Christ as their Savior. Jack McWilliams never shed a tear over those he killed. Never shed a tear for those that he robbed. He never shed a tear when he was beaten or whipped or shot at or wounded, or chased like an animal. He never shed a tear. But when Jack McWilliams heard, there's a Heavenly Father waiting to forgive him, he cried for the first time in his life. when he learned about the love of God. The Bible says there's something that breaks this wicked, selfish, sinful nature of man. This nature of man that's all about me, all about me, all about me. There's only one thing that can break that, and that is the love of God. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He first loved us. And the breaking of the selfish spirit is found in coming to Jesus Christ and finding His forgiveness. The Apostle Paul changed from Saul the persecutor to Paul the persecuted. How is that so? Because he came to Jesus Christ, and his wicked, sinful nature was broken by the love of God. The forgiveness that is found in Jesus Christ. You know, there's something supernatural, the Bible says, about coming to know the love of God. The Bible says it. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says that when you come to know Jesus Christ, there is a breaking of that selfish, sinful spirit. I wonder today, let me ask a very simple question. Have you come to know Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about if you have all the Baptist answers or not. I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying, can you rewrite the catechism? I'm not talking about that. I want to know, was there a day your sinful, selfish spirit was broken? Because you came to Jesus Christ. Thank God, Mel Trotter, his selfish, sinful spirit was broken. And it was the day he came to know the love of God. A God who forgave him of all his sin and made him a new child. You know, the Bible tells us it is quite normal. It is quite normal, it is quite right that a Christian be characterized by selflessness. But we live in a day of selfishness, don't we? My time, my money, my plans, my feelings. My. Almost reminds you of those two little kids playing. Mine. No, mine. Right? You ever seen that before? You ever had to teach them how to do that? No. There's something that can break that. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our memory verse for the week, Matthew 10:39. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, if you're a Christian today and sin has gotten a hold of your life, your life is all about you. You don't want to give up your sin. You don't want to give up what you want. You want to go your own way. You want to do it your way. Everything is about how you feel. Everything is about what you want. And the Bible says this, he that findeth his life shall lose it. You live for yourself, you'll lose everything you have. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. You know, to the world, it seems like the most foolish thing in the world to live for Jesus Christ. You know, what does the world say? The world says, you go to church every Sunday? I mean, you're there at 9:30? Don't look at the clock, but it's 12 o'clock. And then you go back for the evening service? Oh, man, you got to be nuts. How are all these people doing that are keeping their life? How are they doing? How are they succeeding in life? What are their marriages like? What are their morals like? What is their mouth like? How are they doing? You know what? They're finding, they're hanging on to their life, but they're losing it, aren't they? But you know, to the outside, coming to Christ looks like you're giving up something. From the outside, coming to Christ looks like you're giving up something. You know, you're giving up that lifestyle. You're giving up this. You're giving up that. All the party. You know, you're giving up something. But you know what? The Bible says, he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. You know, the devil would want to think about your time that you give to the Lord. The devil would want you to think about this, about the money you give to the Lord. The devil would like you to think about all these things that you are so-called giving up. You aren't giving up anything in comparison to what you're getting. I mean, if you're saved, would you ever want to trade your life back? You want to trade it back? No. You see, there is a crisis, though. It's a crisis of perception and a crisis of faith. Will you, by faith, give your life to Jesus Christ? On the outside, it appears like you're giving up all sorts of things. But on the other side, what do you find? The wonderful riches in Christ Jesus. You're here today and you're not saved. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to give up that. I don't want to give up that. I don't want to give up that. I don't want to. I want to live my own life. I want my own time. I want this. I want that. Yeah, a crisis of selfishness. But Jesus Christ left heaven's glory to die for us. Yeah, I suppose that's a great big crisis by faith to decide I'm going to turn from that and put my faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn from what I can hang on to with my hands, so to speak, which you can't hang on to anything really. I'm going to turn from trusting that to trusting following Jesus Christ and giving Him my life. A crisis of faith, but what's the answer? He that keepeth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake, Jesus said, the same shall find it. It's the great truth about salvation, and it's also the great truth about the Christian life. We need to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all in a day when all the voices are live for yourself, live for yourself, live for yourself. And I guarantee you, it all brings misery. And God's call, first to salvation, is turn from sin and self and turn to Jesus Christ. And secondly, the call of the Christian life is to give your life to Christ. Follow Him. Serve Him with your life. The world's perspective, you're throwing away your life. But the real perspective is, you're gaining real life. Let me ask a question. Has God broken your selfishness? Has God broken the back of selfishness in your life? Or is there a need in our life to admit that we're still way too much all about ourselves? And come to Jesus Christ in surrender. Say, Lord, here is my life. I'll obey You. I'll serve You. I'll do it Your way. I'll do it for You. That's the crisis of life, isn't it? That's the key of successful parenting. That's the key of successful living. That's the key of successful Christianity. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your word. And Lord, this is not something that is a remote subject, but is something that every person, every day of life has to deal with. The battle of self versus the Spirit of God. Going our own way versus going Your way. And we thank You that the love of Jesus Christ is transforming and can take the brunt of that selfishness and break it in half and give us a heart that can begin to be molded by the love of God, the selflessness found in Christ, putting others first, putting You first, putting Your cause first, putting Your praise and glory first, putting the responsibilities we have to others first. And for those who are not saved, putting Jesus Christ first. For He is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Rightfully so. Our heads bowed and eyes closed. Perhaps the Lord is speaking to your heart today. First of all, you're here and you need to be saved. God is speaking to your heart. Won't you today come to Christ? Perhaps you're here today and you need the breaking of your selfishness. And God's Holy Spirit is speaking to you about the terrible curse of selfishness, the great sin of selfishness. And God is speaking to you today about surrendering your will, your way, to the Lord's way. Instead of hanging on to your life, to taking your life and giving it to do what's right, to do God's will. And you say today, in a special way, God has spoken to my heart about really what I'm living. What am I living for? Are we living for self, or are we living for Christ? Are we living for ourselves, or are we living for others? Say, Pastor, pray with me. The Lord has spoken to my heart today. I can see specific areas in my life that I'm selfish. And God is speaking to me about admitting that as sin and turning from that and doing what God wants me to do in my life. Anyone here today, God has spoken to your heart. All right, praise the Lord. Others, God has spoken to my heart about this very important issue in of life and in my life. Okay, amen. Anyone else? Okay, praise the Lord. Spirit of God is speaking to your heart. A great opportunity to make a decision about what you will do about this very important issue. Anyone else? God has spoken to your heart. Okay, amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Lord, now thank you, Lord, that we can look at your word and look to Christ and how great he is. And his love, and that love that ought to be in our lives. And we pray for each of your children here today that have sensed and responded to what you want in their life. And may the truth, Lord, that we've looked at, may it not be just ended in a sermon, but may your Holy Spirit use that as conviction in our day, in our lives and the moments and days ahead. And might there be, Lord, a continued confrontation, Lord, where we will be convicted of our selfishness and surrender, Lord, to you to live a selfless life. We pray in Jesus' name.